As you know, for many, it starts very early on. Of course, you don't, when you're younger, have the wherewithal to know what exactly you're dealing with. And, you know, I was born in 53, so in the 60s or whatever, growing up, really didn't have any references to what I was feeling. I kind of gravitated towards feminine things very early on. I have certain memories when I was very young that stuck with me, or that the realization that I had these feelings and desires of feeling that I was a girl. There were initially four boys in the family. Then my mother finally had a girl. And she said she kept trying until she had a girl. And I kept saying in my back of my mind, well, you know, you've already had one. And then I had a bag there that my aunt brought in that had some girls' clothing from my cousins. So we were goofing around in the basement with my brothers, and when we decided we're gonna dress up. And so we dressed up. I dressed up in the girls' clothes. And finally, my parents had to say, you know, enough. My other name is Peter, enough Peter. And that was allowed me to actualize and see myself as how I felt I was. So for many years I did that. I cross-dressed in secret, but I thought that was very wrong, and it was a very guilt associated with it. It's something that you shouldn't do. But then as I got to my teenage years, what really made it confusing for me was I was attracted to women. And I wasn't an effeminate boy, but I had these how I felt, and I always was more comfortable around other girls, and not that I couldn't stand my own with other males, but always I think my parents saw that, but so they always pushed me into, you know, playing with the boys, and you know, but I also learned how to sew, watching my mother and things like that, and you know, even then my father came up one time and saw me watch my mother sew, and she said, "What are you doing? The boys are outside playing. Get outside and play with balls." But I'm watching mom.
Things were very black and white back then.
Oh, well, sure. I mean, yeah. That's the gender norms were. So they were just being parents. And in my teenager years, I realized that, you know, I could see myself in the mirror. Well, I would pray that I would, you know, be a woman. But I realized the fallacy of that. And, you know, look in the mirror. Well, you're, you know, a strapping young man. You've got to, you know, this is what your life is. You need to make the best of what it is. You're attracted to women, so why you want to be one? And so that's what I did.
There weren't too many options at that time.
No, there wasn't any options. And again, there wasn't any, you didn't know whether there was any others like yourself. Yeah. But in my college years, and then I went to RIT as a mechanical engineer, I started to pick up, had money, so I ended up, you know, buying some clothes, buying a wig. What is that? A long story short, right before I graduated, my roommate said he was going to go home, left, so I decided to dress in my college room, which I never did, but I did this particular time, and he forgot a book and came back and caught me. So I was so embarrassed, and, you know, I explained it to him what was going on and best I could, and he literally found me in the closet. Go away!
Are we in the 70s by then?
Yeah. We have a family cottage at Silver Lake, and we did a lot of sailing. And we campaigned our sailboat all across Western York and Canada, and even ended up going to the North American Championships in Rhode Island, and did very well there, and made the cover of Sailing Magazine, which I didn't realize at the time, but it was a way of keeping this all pushed back and suppressed. And I had done research on it, so I knew kind of where I stood. And I finally admitted to myself. I had to give myself a okay. And I had to say, this is who you are. It's part of who you are. Don't beat yourself up over it. This is a component of who makes you are, and go forward from there. So then that was a point of time where I accepted myself as a cross-dresser. So then I met my wife and shared with her before we got married what did I cross-dress, and she accepted it and kind of said, well, I know other, you know, men have other things that are vices that are far worse. You know, this is all that it is, that you dress occasionally, then, you know, she was okay with it. And we married, and we were happily married for 23 years, actually 24, and knew each other for closer to 30.
So and starting maybe in the 80s?
We got married in 81, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And had a child at 83, and which was one of the best things that in my life besides my lovely wife. But for me, what I didn't realize was that the identity or the cross-dressing was a point on a continuum. As I embraced that, and I found a support group in Rochester first, and then I found one here and helped develop it into the Buffalo Bells, helped develop it, and me and a couple others developed into a very viable group. But as I did that, I started dressing more and going out more. The more I started going out more and more, I started to embrace it, the more my gender dysphoria kept going up, the more I had to put it back in the bottle, the more I realized that I needed to be here. It took me a long time, to almost the early 90s, probably 89 or so, for me to realize that and accept that I was a transsexual.
How did you explain that to your wife?
I always kept her in the loop and dialogued, and she was always worried that I would go down this path, and I was telling her, "Well, no, I love you," and I did. I was willing to try to keep this part of me fulfilling it, if you will, for the sake of the marriage, and I worked very hard to try to do that, but in the end, it became realized that I couldn't. It was just like a computer virus that just eventually I couldn't cope and couldn't function, and I needed to go forward with my journey. But then going through and going to the support groups, it was almost like self-therapy. I eventually found myself explaining what I would have determined as a cross or as a transsexual, and then eventually I used that term, and that was the revelation that I started to use that. And then in an explanation to my wife one time, I used that same term. She says, "Well, wait a minute, that's time out. That's the first time I heard you say that." Even at that time, there still was a focus of, I want to be here for her. For my wife and my daughter, I mean, I knew this was part of me, but I was hopeful that I could keep it separate. I mean, my wife was supportive to a point. Couldn't bring it into the marriage. I mean, I did bring her to a meeting in Rochester once of other couples or whatever, but it was just something that was very hard for her to see and harder to be around. She married a man. She's not gay. So I knew, and going down from our conversations, that if and when I needed to transition, that she could not go with me.